This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here.
And James Finlay.
And James, we have in the studio Mr. Matt Cooksey, a personal development coach.
Hey yeah. Guys, nice to meet you.
What am I, Wait, what is the word?
Psychotherapist.
Psychotherapist.
Sounds really scary, doesn't it?
It does sound pretty scary.
Yeah. But you also describe yourself as a Swiss Army knife of problem solving.
Well, yeah, that's my way of making it a bit more accessible. Because if you break psychotherapist down, it actually breaks down to psycho the rapist, which actually is not really a good look.
No, so, probably will not bring clients.
Yes, not really going to help people get involved in this sort of stuff.
What is a psychotherapist?
So, there's lots of different ways of describing it, but a psychotherapist is really somebody who helps somebody get their life from perhaps where it's not so good to where they're really happy in what they're doing. So there's lots of different terms, psychotherapy, coaching, psychologist, and they'll get a bit confused as well.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned coaching.
Yes.
It's a bit of a buzzword at the moment.
Mm.
You know, everyone knows, I think, the conventional coach. Like, I don't know. Like
footy coach.
Yeah, footy coach or a basketball coach.
Yeah.
But personal coaching, is that quite the same? Are you yelling at people, making them do laps of pools and things?
As soon as they come in, it's 10 push-ups, you know, before you do anything. No, not at all. Really, where psychotherapy and coaching are a bit different is psychotherapy is really for somebody who's really struggling in their life and they're not really okay and they need to get to okay. Coaching is more about people who are actually doing fine in their lives. You know, they're going fine, but they have this sense that underneath the skin, there's something more that they'd like to do with their life. And they're just either not quite clear what it is, or they don't know quite how to get there. And it's frustrating to them as well, because they've perhaps been trying for a while and they're just sick of going around the same loops and not getting where they want to go. So
is it something that's quite prevalent? I feel like it probably might be, but you're the expert in the gay community.
What is quite prevalent?
People not being able to get to where they want to be.
Yes. I mean, it is across the board in, you know, the whole of society. But if you look at all the statistics, you know, there's double the rates of depression and anxiety, which is often linked to people who are struggling to get where they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, yeah, when it comes to I think lots of people out there trying to make more purposeful lives, you know, whereas historically we all just went and got a job for life, that kind of thing, and just decided that this is something we had to do and just suck it up. Now people want a purpose.
Yeah.
And that's quite hard for people to figure that out.
Where do you think that's come from? Because I feel like that a lot of people are searching for purpose these days. Is, you know, as you said, back in the day, when I wasn't alive, you know, people did just go to work, do their lives, have their kids, whatever. Yeah. But now it's not like that at all.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got so much choice available to us. And we sit on Facebook and we see everyone advertising their wonderful lives. Mm. And, you know, when you were at school, you know, and looking to do something maybe 20, 30 years ago, you were quite limited in what you could do. There was maybe two or three options. Whereas now people who are leaving uni might have, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 jobs by the time they retire. So we've got so many more options. But at the same time, that in itself is really overwhelming for a lot of people.
Yeah, it makes it more confusing, right?
Yeah, where the hell do I go? And by the way, every time I look on Facebook, I see everybody's having amazing lives, so I should also be having this incredible life. And I also think for gay people, this is even more more important, because if you're straight, you know, one of the ways in which you can sort of create meaning in your life is by having a family, for example. You know, it's very attainable for you to do that potentially, whereas the average gay person doesn't necessarily have that as a default option, if you like. And so for a lot of gay people, it's like, actually, you know what, I'm not necessarily going to have a family, but I want to have what's a really purposeful, meaningful life, but I don't know how to go about creating that and what that is.
And that sense of identity, as you're describing for say straight guys, you know, as you said, family, house, mortgage, career, and they get on that treadmill as well.
Yeah.
For us, for the gay community, you may not necessarily have those same things. I mean, some people obviously go out and buy a house and have kids of and course. Family and all that sort of stuff. But a lot of what you're talking about is sort of linked also, you're talking a lot about career, but also relationships with others.
Absolutely.
Are critical to that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, human beings thrive in close relationships and being around people we feel understand us and get us and that kind of thing. And so fulfilling relationships is definitely a key part of the work that I do. And that really starts with developing the relationship with yourself as well, because I think that's where so many people who are trying to get into relationships with others struggle, because they actually haven't worked on the relationship they have to themselves. And therefore, it's hard to love somebody else if you actually don't love yourself that much. So that's a lot of the work I do as well. So,
and do you, I'm taking it, you also work a lot in the imagery that the gay men have, and obviously for many it's linked to body image.
Yes.
Is that something you work
definitely
in as well?
Yeah, I mean, it comes up time and time again in my work with clients, body image issues. And you know, for myself as well, it's something that I've been through and done a lot of work on myself in that area of my life as well. So it's very prevalent in our community and one of the most common things that people present with. And it's like, do you know what? It doesn't have to be this way. I don't have to keep doing myself down. I actually want to learn the tools and the skills to be able to actually think better of myself. And if I can start to think well of myself and my body, it moves me in a more productive direction. Instead of being preoccupied and fixated by worries about what I look like, I can just get on with my life and get out there and do great things and meet great people and have a level of confidence perhaps that I didn't have before.
Why do you think the gay community does have a huge problem with this body image issue? Why do you think that it's so prevalent here for the gays? Like, is it because men in general have always had an obsession with physiques, and so now we're all looking at ourselves, or is it something that's been, I don't know, brought out of people who aren't, you know, happy with their lives, so they go to the gym, or like, where does it come from? Where's it going?
Yeah, I think the answer to that's really a complex one. I think there's a general
surprise.
Sorry to say that, it's a bit annoying, isn't it?
But now we got an hour.
I think there's a few things going on. I think if you look across all groups in society, this is becoming more prevalent. For straight guys, you know, the advent of David Beckham in his sexy little undies adverts is putting a lot of pressure on all men to look a certain way. Women have traditionally been the butt of a lot of this activity for decades, and so
yeah, exactly.
You know, women have to look a certain way to be successful and to be happy and so on. So I don't think this is new, but I think it's certainly something that's accelerating with our sort of celebrity culture and, you know, those magazines that you see where the circle of shame where people's bodies are sort of put up. And I think to a great extent, the gay community has unfortunately embraced that element of our culture in a big way. And
well, check out Grindr, you know?
Yeah.
Well, right.
It's in your face all the frickin' time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, in the work that I do with people, helping them find, you know, good relationships, part of that is actually helping them get out of just relying on tools like Grindr to meet and connect with people, so that they can actually remove their whole sort of dating life from just being about that online kind of process, which is very preoccupied by image and so on, because there's so much more to people and to what's attractive.
Do you think the online presence of us gays has kind of shot us in the foot now? Because, you know, I think it helped a lot of people when you know, it was really hard to get in touch with other men who like to have sex with men. But now, because it's, you know, a lot easier to, you know, meet people in other areas, but then in the other hand is we're so used to meeting people on the internet that that's the only kind of way that we're looking now.
I think you're right. I think we just become lazy, you know, and that it's just all too easy and it's so compelling, isn't it? It's in your pocket.
Yeah.
And it rings at you to say that, you know, with the promise of some hot guy just around the corner. And I think most of our experiences tells us that's probably quite far from the truth in reality. And so, there's so many other ways to meet people and connect with people. But as you say, it's sort of just it's become the easy option. And so I encourage a lot of my clients that I work with in this space to really think about, you know, what other ways are there that they can meet people, you know, once they've figured out who they want to be with, where does that person spend their time? What sort of stuff does that person like doing, and how can they connect with them in a different way? Which is not to say there's not a place for Grindr and those apps. You know, they it can be great fun, and lots of people do meet through them. But it's I think if you sort of hang all of your hopes on that, you know, it can lead to a lot of disappointment and a lot of wasted hours sat at home.
So many wasted hours.
Yes. Searching. And I think that's the other thing with it. You know, it sort of builds in people that sense of I'm searching, I need to find this person, that sense of desperation almost. Yeah. And if there's anything less attractive to anyone, it's the sense of desperation, you know, that brings
about.
I've
seen that person on here every single day.
10 hours later, that person's still online. I mean, seriously, what's going on?
It's the same thing that's like because I had a profile when I... before I left for Europe.
Yes.
This is like, 3 years ago now. And then when I came back and I looked back in, so the same people were there with the same photos even. And I'm like, you mean nothing's happened in the past two, like 3 years that you're still using the same profile pic?
It must have been a really good picture. That's all I can say.
That must have been downhill.
Now, Matt, we want to have a chat. Maybe we'll focus on relationships a bit coming up.
Yeah.
Because you've got some key tips about relationships. But first, I wanted to briefly find out, how did you get into this? Why did you start doing this work?
Well, I guess I got to age 30 and had a bit of a moment, really.
Bit of a midlife crisis.
Yeah, a bit of a midlife crisis, you know, a bit early on. And I was doing, you know, a job that was great on paper but made me miserable and I was unhappy. And I'd just broken up with my partner of 4 years and was really questioning what I wanted. And just not very happy in myself, really, as a person, and was seeking out help to figure myself out and my situation out. And I got so frustrated looking around for help because, you know, I met the psychologist who wanted to speak about, you know, what happened when I was 3 every week for weeks and weeks, which was really not helping me a lot. And then I met the hippie lady who wanted to sing together on our first session, you know, and so this went on. And so to find really
people like that exist.
Oh, they're out there. Oh, believe me, there's plenty of them. And what I really needed was somebody who could just very, you know, practically sit down with me and help me figure myself out, equip me with some tools, help me sort of envision what I wanted to create in my life. And when I found that person, it just made all the difference. And that's really what inspired me then to go on and say, right, this is the sort of thing I want to offer, and I want to do it specifically for the gay community in light of the specific issues and challenges that we face. So,
well, if you have a question, you can send it in for Matt. It is onair@joy.org.au or send us a text 0427JOY949. And if you have any questions whatsoever in regards to, I don't know, relationships, career, lifestyle.
Yep.
Addictions, maybe, that you have that are involved in lifestyle.
Send them in. as James said, 0427JOY949, email onair@joy.org.au.
Hide and seek.
James Villain and Andrew the Apprentice with you for Hide and Seek. And in the studio with us is a personal development coach and psychotherapist, Matt Cooksey, the Swiss Army knife of problem solving, whether it's in relationships, career, or lifestyle. He's there to fix it.
Yes, he is. Now, Matt, you talked about relationships a bit before, and you're saying during the break you've got 6 key tips.
Yes,
about relationships. So,
it's true that like gays find it harder to find a long-term relationship than the heteros, right?
Definitely. Yeah, it's definitely an issue for us more so than the general population, which is not to say that, you know, everybody else doesn't have difficulty. Relationships are really, you know, challenging for everybody. So, yes, but yeah, there's a particular challenge with that amongst our community, for sure.
So, you got 6 key tips.
Yes.
You know, it always helps when there's a list of things.
Yes, we love a list, don't we?
Yeah, we do love a list. Where do we start?
All right, so these 6 things, you know, they actually start with you. You know, you might sort of think that it's about sort of looking in certain places and getting online or whatever, but actually it starts with you. So the first tip is to really look at your own life and say, am I actually living a life that I'm proud of and that I feel passionate about?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, you know, when you meet somebody who's passionate about what they do, you know how attractive that is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
no, there was nothing worse than meeting somebody like, I hate my life, absolutely. I hate my job, I'm so upset with the
biggest
world.
Biggest turn off going. Yeah. So step one is really, it's a big step, but it's a really important one. Get a life that you actually feel proud of.
Mm.
Create a life that you feel proud of. And in the process, you know, let go of any stuff that you're holding on to. You know,
grudges, exes,
baggage. That dirty baggage. You know, all that stuff. You know, those things. Again, if you're rocking up to your date and you spend the first half an hour talking about your ex, you know, not really cool.
Yeah. So, and I've heard saying, it doesn't matter. You can have baggage. You just got to pack it away nicely.
That's a very good way of saying it. Yes, yeah. I like it.
Just nice, needs to be neatly packed.
Maybe you can FedEx it somewhere nice.
You know, your Louis Vuitton is over there and everything's packed away in that.
Yeah, baggage is great as long as it's, you know, design up.
Yeah.
And maybe just have a look through it and know what's in there. So that it's not leaping out unawares and actually affecting whoever it is you're trying to get together.
Well, having
with.
Too much baggage can cost a lot of money.
True.
It gets very heavy. At the end of the day, I can't carry that shit around with me all the time.
Exactly.
It's exhausting.
Go the metaphors.
We could roll with this forever, couldn't we?
Do it forever.
So that's really step one, is get a life that you're proud of, frankly. The second tip is really decide what you want. You know, I don't know if you speak to most people, they can tell you 25 things about all the things that they don't want in a partner. You know, I don't want them to be, you know, needy, and I don't want them to be distant, and I don't want them to be an emotional retard, and I don't want them to this.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is not getting you closer to what you want. So the first thing is, or the second step is to say, well, actually, right, that's what I don't want, but what do I want? It sounds such a stupid little thing, but it actually makes a real big difference if you can.
It gives you a big mind shift if you focus on the positive as opposed to the negative.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I find I might be wanting too many things in one person.
Fair enough.
Also a problem.
Well, you know, we can end up with a long list, but I think part of what I do with people is definitely that process of looking at those sorts of lists once you've got them together and saying, all right, what's really important here?
Yeah.
What's really, you know, your non-negotiables, if you like, and figuring that out. And then
does
that
it really
you...
matter that they don't like the new Taylor Swift single?
Yes, you know? Absolutely.
Probably cross that off.
It's going to cut your target market down significantly, I would have thought.
You'd be surprised.
Well, you know, actually, I have to say, I actually really like Taylor Swift.
See, there we go. It's not as
just
bad.
Just shot myself in the foot there tonight. So, yeah, that's tip number two, is to focus on what you actually want rather than what you don't want. Tip number three is then to actively build your own confidence. You know, again, an easy thing to overlook, but how do I really work on my own confidence so that when I get out and about, I can really do myself justice and feel good about myself when I get into those situations where I'm meeting new people or whatever.
Sounds very easy.
Yeah.
But
building confidence.
I got a shot for that, you know. Come see me, I give you a shot of confidence, no problem. Yeah. Sadly, it's not quite that simple, but it is something that you can actively work on. And, you know, a lot of people come to me and they say, you know, I'm not confident. I just don't really believe in myself. I doubt myself all the time. And they feel like that's just the way it is. And the truth is that doesn't have to be how it is, you know?
So it's not as simple as going out to a bar, getting a bit of Dutch courage and going for a gold.
Well, for sure, that is one strategy. And I think, you know, we've all done that for sure. I know that I have.
Yeah, we're only human.
Yep.
So exactly. So yes, definitely get some Dutch courage along the way. But there's definitely some other things that you can do to really actively build your own confidence from simple, small things. Like, for example, the first step that we talked about. If you build a life that you actually really feel passionate about, you're much more likely to feel confident anyway, because you're proud of what you've created in your life. Through to simple little daily practices that you can do to build your confidence as well. So, you know, I cover a lot of that stuff with people in, you know, one-to-one work and courses and things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's tip number three. Tip number four is to then get out and about into different environments. Like we were talking about before, don't just rely on sitting on your couch on Grindr getting depressed about the fact that it's the same faces coming up every time and the profile pictures haven't changed for 5 years, as you said, and the, you know, the same people. Get out and about. You know, where does this amazing guy you want to spend time with and build a life with, where does he hang out? You know, where does he spend his time?
You probably don't want him to be on Grindr 24/7.
Well, right, absolutely. Maybe he's volunteering somewhere, or you know, maybe he's at some club or playing sport or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, where is that person spending their time? And so, you know, getting a more diverse approach to getting out amongst people is really good way of finding that person.
Mm-hmm. And as you've mentioned, it's not just necessarily the nightclubs. There are a whole range of community activities and community groups that are out there and ready to take you in.
The amount of sporting groups that are around these days
is huge.
Massive.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gay tennis, all sorts of stuff.
There's all the, obviously, there's all the cultural diverse groups.
Mm,
So, I mean, and Joy, I think, what have we got? 300 odd community service announcements.
Oh, wait. All right. Yeah.
Yeah, the community service announcements. Like, we have got like 300 community service announcements on air here at Joy, which basically promote every single community group one way or another.
And even if you're not going to a group that's like gay in inverted commas, you know, just actually getting in and around other people who share passions of yours, you're much more likely
people
to meet
gay friends.
Well, right,
that's right.
Yes, I know gay people.
That. I know gay people.
Yes.
Oh, I've got a great. My brother's gay. I'll set you up. Yes. Oh, I've got this. You know, and the typical, I've got a gay friend that you've got to
meet.
Oh,
my God. You
guys will
must.
Be amazing together.
You're gay, he's gay, so you're like match made in heaven,
it'll
right?
be amazing. Yeah. You'll spend the rest of your lives together. You'll have two kids and a picket fence.
That's right.
And I would be Cupid. Yep. Every gay, every straight person's there. Continue.
I shall.
What number are we up to?
So we've done four. Yeah, so we're doing pretty well. I'm quite impressed that we're moving here. Number five is a bit of a weird-sounding one, but it's detaching from the outcome of finding this person. And so what I mean by that is you actually need to say that you want them,
but
and then you need
them.
To let it go. I'm okay. Do you know what? I'm all right if I'm by myself because I've got this passionate life. I've got confidence in myself, et cetera, et cetera. This person supplements my life. They don't make my life.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, a big mind shift.
You can be happy being single.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. I'm okay by myself. And in fact, I'm more than okay. I'm good by myself.
Yeah.
Mm. So yeah, that's tip number five. And there's, you know, there's some really simple things that you can do to help yourself do that. Because everyone talks about that stuff. Everyone says, you know,
it
just be happy.
When you least expect it.
Oh, don't you just hate that? But you want to punch someone who says that to you. Not that I'm suggesting that.
Metaphorically,
just, you know, disclaimer. But yeah, you know, when people say that, it's all well and good. But what I help people do is actually do that. The practice of letting it go and going, well, whatever. We'll see what happens.
It's funny you say that because today I told someone that I thought I may have been getting feelings for that may have been happening. And he said, now he's got a boyfriend. And I was like, great timing. and he said, oh, it's okay. You'll find someone. I'm like, oh. Thanks a lot.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you just did.
Nice consolation prize.
Yeah. You'll find someone. I was like, well, I know that.
Yes.
Smartass. Go away. So, yeah, that happened. Number six.
Number six, moving on swiftly. But number six is really about optimizing yourself. And that's really about, you know, put your best foot forward, you know.
Yeah.
Make sure that you're doing yourself justice in terms of, you know, grooming and all that basic stuff, but also be a good communicator as well. You know, there's that old expression of the most interesting person in the room is the most interested person. And there's nothing worse than when you go on a date that somebody sits there and just talks about themselves.
Yep.
And so, again, one of the things that I work on with people is, hey, how can you learn some skills, some basic skills that allow you to communicate in a way that the person on the other side of the, you know, romantic candle knows that you're actually really interested in them, their life and what's going on. And that's like, that's sexy, you know, that's really sexy. So.
But also like asking the right questions, because recently someone asked me about my background and then asked me, because I have German heritage, then, you know, thought he'd dig a bit further and see if, and asked if I was a Nazi. So, you know,
yes, there's definitely
just got to ask the right questions.
That person should definitely come and see me, I reckon.
Probably.
Yes, calling you a nuts is probably not the best.
not the greatest way to start. Strategy, no.
But, you know, good effort for showing an interest as well. So I wouldn't want to
promote. He was listening.
He was listening.
He's heading down the right road. Just needed a bit more guidance.
Yeah, he just needed some more ceiling on that tarmac.
Yes.
You're on a hide and seek with James Finlay, Andrew the Apprentice, Matt Cooksey, personal development coach, is with us. We've just gone through his six stages of relationship, getting yourself to a relationship.
Yes.
You wrote them down, right, Andrew?
I did.
What are they?
This is a test. You better get this right.
Okay. Knowing yourself, mm-hmm. Knowing what you want, mm-hmm. building confidence, getting out and about, detaching from the outcome, i.e. being comfortable with being single, and optimizing yourself.
Yep. There we go. Very good.
If you have a question, you can text it in 0427JOY949 or on air at joy.org.au. Shoot us a text and we'll get to it.
Joy 94.9.
You are on Joy 94.9, Hide and Seek with Andrew the Apprentice and James Finlay. We have Matt Cooksey in the studio, a personal development coach. Now, we're talking to Matt about a lot of things, but Matty from Fitzroy has texted in on 0427JOY949. And we're going to give you all the details shortly, but Matt Cooksey's website is reinventionstudio.com.au. Reinventionstudio.com.au. So those were our six tips for relationships.
Yes.
Those broad approaches of getting to know yourself and building confidence and learning about yourself would also apply, I'm guessing, in a broader way to also your other key focus areas of career and lifestyle.
Definitely, yeah. Certainly the aspect about knowing yourself is super important when it comes to career, as an example, because, you know, we were talking a bit earlier about how so many people want to have more of a meaningful career, yep. a sense of purpose. And the sort of mistake that people commonly make there is that they sort of know that they're not happy in the job that they're doing, and then they sort of immediately go, right, well, what else can I do? What's this purpose thing? And they sort of look on Seek and they're looking at the world outside and they're sort of hoping that their purpose is going to leap out in front of them
and
grab them and say, hi, I'm your purpose, and off we go, and isn't it going to be wonderful?
Mm. And it's not that easy, is it?
Yes. It just, again, it sort of takes a bit of self-inquiry first. And so the work in career that I do with people is to help them figure out, well, firstly, what am I passionate about? And it's really interesting. A lot of people come to me, and when I talk about that, they say, well, I'm a bit scared. I just wonder if I am actually passionate about anything. And you know, people have usually been trained out of their passions through the school mm-hmm. process, through their parental attitudes of, you
don't
know,
get a real job.
Exactly. And, you know, we live in a world where there's so much opportunity to use your passion, and actually it makes a big difference. So I help people figure out their passions, also their values as well, and then their key skills, you know, what they're really, really good at and what comes naturally to them. And so once they understand a bit more about themselves, then they can go out into the big wide yeah. world armed with that insight. And it's so much easier to spot your purpose once you've figured out what you're about, mm-hmm. first of all. Mm-hmm. So you're so spot on. Pretty much through a lot of the work that I do, one of the first common steps is figure out you first. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't need to be in a really heavy, you know, come and sit on my couch and talk about what happened when you were three type way. You know, I have a lot of fun in the work that I do with people. It's light, you know, and basically we're talking about their passions. So it's an exciting conversation.
And that's what I was going to ask. And how do you operate? So it's not coming in and lying on a couch?
No. Although you could if you wanted to,
yeah.
but yes, mostly, you know, it's very practical work. You know, there's...
Do you get homework?
I like to not call it homework because, you know, there's too much connotation around homework from school. You know, it's sort of, yes, homework's probably the right word, yeah. but yes, it's, I like to say, you know, it's very exciting.
Self-reflection time.
That's very well put.
Oh, there we go.
You know, some of the tasks that I give people are to go off and do something amazing and exciting. Like, I have one client who loves surfing, and so he'll go off and have a massive surfing session. question and then get straight off his surfboard and sit down and look at five questions that I've set him to think about in terms of his passions. And because he's just stepped off his board and he absolutely loves it, you know, when he's thinking about what he's passionate about, you know, it's so much easier for him to access that kind of stuff because he's already in that sort of flying high sort of space. So yeah, the work is really creative and really interesting. Most of my clients absolutely relish the opportunity to go and do the work that I set them to do in between sessions because they're so ready for it. You know, they want to do it. They want to go and explore what they're capable of and what they're interested in. They just don't know how to go about it. They need a bit of structure, and that's the structure that I give them to know how to go and do it. So,
yeah, great. Well, we've got another text in saying that it's so nice to hear about this being discussed. We can all do with a bit of coaching and personal development, which is true, you know.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's not in our culture, really, to ask for help.
Like, and Australian culture?
Well, I think, you know, I come from England, as you can probably hear from my accent, and certainly in England it's the same. So I'm not sure whether it's just Australia or sort of the West or really anywhere, really.
But personal culture.
You know, only 4% of the population ever sees a psychologist or counsellor, which means that 96% of the population is just dealing with everyday problems just by themselves. And, you know, so it's a frustration to me. And I know from my own experience that when I sought some help and, you know, went through a bunch of people who couldn't help me and then finally found someone amazing, it just totally helped me turn my life around. And the life I have now is so far removed from where I was. And, and so knowing what I know about the difference getting some good help can make, I'm just on this mission to change people's perceptions about actually asking for help and make the help options that are available more, you know, more palatable and more interesting. It doesn't have to be heavy, you know. It can be fun.
And if people are sitting there thinking, oh, this sounds familiar, maybe I should be doing something, like, how do you get someone to do something about their life, you know? Because we probably know a few people that, you know, whinge and complain all the time, but then, oh, but I'm okay and I don't really have to do anything. What's that catalyst to change?
To some extent, people, you know, they do have to be ready to do this kind of stuff. You know, if somebody's feeling like, you know, yeah, it's frustrating that I'm in this job, but, you know, it's all right, I don't mind, you know, that person's probably not right for, or not ready, or not, you know, at the right stage for doing this kind of stuff. In my experience, most people have got to a stage, to be honest, where the pain of their current situation, i.e., you know, they're sick of going to bed at night sleeping by themselves, or they're sick of going to family do's and everyone else has got a partner and nobody and they don't, or they're sick of Monday morning coming around after, you know, a good weekend and then a crappy week ahead.
Oh, God,
and
I hated that feeling.
Yeah, and it's got to the point where the pain is such a level that they're like, right, I need to change something here.
Yep.
I'm not prepared to carry on like this and be ready to do something about it. So you can't really make somebody get to that point.
Yep.
But if people, you know, if somebody out there is in that point, then they're probably somebody who's ready for doing this sort of thing.
Okay.
Now, Matt, as we mentioned, you've got a website, reinventionstudio.com.au.
Yes.
And you've got a few workshops happening as well soon.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
And they're focused on relationship things.
That's right. Yeah. The first one, well, it's going to become a series. So the series is called the How To series. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be covering over the next 12 months topics like how to find an amazing partner, which is the first topic.
Oh,
which,
do you go around to different bars?
It's not quite so practical, actually, James. Yeah, we're going to be delving into those six topics that I outlined further and then taking a small group of gay guys basically through a process of actually over a number of weeks stepping through all that stuff as a group together and moving towards a relationship. But the series will continue on to cover other topics like how to be better with money, how to find a job you love, how to be a better friend, how to spend time by yourself. All these different topics are things that we're going to cover. But we start with relationships because I did a survey amongst the community and everybody said, please, if you're going to do one, make it the relationships one. What people seem to really want. So that's where I decided to start.
Pull at the heartstrings.
Yes.
I know, absolutely.
Matt Cooksey, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yeah, it's a real pleasure to join you both. Thank you.
No worries.
Reinventionstudio.com.au. Don't forget, go to joy.org.au/hideandseek to follow us on social media and to get up to date on all our podcasts, which are rushing out the door.
find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.